One in Jesus' name this morning. It's been a blessing to be here. Been challenged this morning. Appreciate some of the thoughts that were given, and it's always interesting to hear the different thoughts as people share them, and how it ties into maybe thoughts that you were preparing for later on in the morning. And appreciate each one's part this morning. Thought about it while I was sitting up here. If I'd have had done everything myself this morning, it wouldn't have been near the blessing that it was. But everybody joins together in song, and different people share challenges they've been blessed with. It's a blessing to all the rest of us. I don't know how some people make it through life without church, without a brotherhood. And so we want to enjoy that again this morning. I'd like to preach a message more for the youth this morning. For all of us, but I know so many times when we share, maybe we tend to pull from experiences we've been going through, and that's right. That's what we often do. But sometimes we forget to preach for other people, experiences they're having that we don't have. And I'm glad that the youth are here this morning. I wanted to say that first, because there's a lot of churches in America today where it's just old people, just some old people sitting on the benches. That's all that's left. There's a lot of churches in Altoona that have closed. Nobody to fill the benches anymore. And I am glad that you were here this morning, that you chose to be here. I'm not much more than a youth myself this morning. You probably think about it, but all of us older ones, as you move on through life, you realize it was only yesterday that I was 17 and looking forward to the future and wondering what would happen and laughing about, you know what, in 2013, I'm going to be 31 and wonder what life's going to give me till then. But youth is a time when you dream of the future and you yearn for the opportunities to take on responsibility or to be given freedom, and you want to see your ambitions fulfilled. You want to see what you can do with your life. Youth is a time when you can enjoy life without the burden of responsibilities. And it should be that way. It should be that way. And we want to encourage that this morning. But youth is also a time of preparation for service for God. And that's also what the message is about this morning. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We'd like to read four verses here as a text passage. We'll draw some thoughts from here as we move through the message. Ecclesiastes 11, I'd like to read verses 7 to 10. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And that's where we'd like to draw some thoughts this morning, especially focusing on verse 9. Rejoice in thy youth. And you can put that for a title for the message this morning. Rejoice in thy youth. What is youth? Who are youth? I'd like to define youth a little bit. And as I thought back across my own years, probably between the age of 15 and 20, 16 and 22, I don't know, somewhere in there, probably the best definition that I could have put for it was, who am I? Who am I? And that's what happens in those years. When you go from being innocent and ignorant as a child and dependent as a children, we're, that's who we are. And then we move into towards adulthood where we are no longer ignorant, but we gain more knowledge and we're not innocent. We know a whole lot more about what life is about, and that God is calling us and asking something of us, and we gain a lot more responsibilities. And youth is that time of transitioning from one, those carefree days, to responsibility. There also is blessing in responsibility. Getting old is not a bad thing. I did tell my wife on the way to church this morning that it didn't seem so bad turning 30, but every year since then, you wish time could stop. Maybe you wouldn't have to keep getting older. That'd be nice. But along with, you don't have to fear getting older, because along with responsibility comes blessing. And as you gain responsibility and a job well done, and God blesses you for it, and you lay up treasure in heaven. So it's a good thing to keep getting older. But youth like to think themselves as a class of their own. I know I did. Older people, they don't understand us. Older people, they're not up to date anymore. Youth can quickly pick up on new things, quickly pick up on new abilities, can quickly change. And it's harder for older people to do that. We went to look at a piece of timber the other day, and the man was probably about 10 or 15 years older than me, and he struggled through the woods as we went to look at it, walked around looking at this woods, and thought about it. I mean, we do what we want as far as a physical body when we're still young, but he told me, he said, I need two knees replaced. And so, in a physical sense, he is more and more limited because his body's wearing out. That also can happen mentally. But it can also be a good thing, and we'll look at that as we go through the message. Not changing rapidly is also a blessing as well. Youth often think that mom and dad, the older ones, they've forgotten what it was like. And maybe we have. Maybe we have. But maybe we haven't. Maybe we haven't. It's also true as well. Maybe just thinking more, a little more about that thought of moving from a child to an adult. What are 5-year-olds known for? How does this work? Why that? And asking lots of questions. That's what children are known for. And what was mom and dad's responsibilities during those times? Mom and dad, they fed him, they clothed him, they answered the questions, they taught. And as youth, after a while, we realize that's who we are. We're so dependent, and we like to become independent. We're gaining some knowledge. We don't have to ask the questions that we used to ask anymore. We have some of the answers now. We can tell. Youth want to prove themselves an adult. And it often makes a struggle because we feel like adults want to treat us like children, and we're not children anymore. We're becoming adults. But too often times we still act that way. And youth, if you want to get to a place where you're treated like an adult, you have to be willing to be treated like a child while you act like an adult. And when parents come to the realization that their children are making wise decisions, and even though they've been having restrictions placed on them, suddenly they realize the child is maturing, and they begin to loosen up. And no one's quite sure when that all happens, but it happens. One of the quotes that I found that I thought really applied was, I can't even say the name of the person, or I'd try. But this is a quote that they gave. In youth we learn, in age we understand. And I thought that's so true. In youth we learn, but in age we understand. And there's a lot of learning, and I'm glad that youth want to learn. It's very important for youth to try to learn. But it doesn't replace what years can give to you. Sometimes I wonder why I should be the one up here preaching, because there's something that age will do for a person that nothing else does. As you get older, you see the cycle go around so many times. You've seen history repeat itself. You don't have to study history to see what history's going, what time is going to produce. You've already seen it happen in your own life. And you've learned to make choices that you don't keep going back and feeling the pain again for wrongdoing. I'd like just to give a number of points on what is youth for. What is youth for? What are some things that, some things that are true about youth? What are some treasures that they can find in their youth? And just going back to our theme verse, our text verse, youth is a time to rejoice. Youth is a time to rejoice. Be happy, be content in being a young person. It's a time before you receive a lot of the battle scars that life gives you. It's a lot of pain that older people carry around that you don't know about. A lot of disappointments. As a young person, you don't think about that. You don't think about dying. You haven't seen many friends die. You haven't had many. Most of you haven't had your parents die. You don't know much about death. And youth is a time to rejoice in that. And so my encouragement this morning is to rejoice in your youth and enjoy it instead of pining at what you don't have. And you wish you were 16 because then you could drive the car. And you wish you were 18 because then you could have a special friend. Or you wish you were older because you could go and serve somewhere. Maybe you can't go to Bangladesh. You're too young. Maybe you can't teach school yet. Or you can't do something else that you've dreamed about since you were young. Can't have the job you want. Dad says you have to stay home and help him in the shop. Whatever it is. Don't pine away about that and wish you were older, because that comes soon enough. And it takes away from the joy that you have as a youth. Psalm 148. Another thing that goes right along with this, Psalm 148 and verse 12 and 13. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He's saying here, rejoice in your youth. Don't just rejoice in yourself. Rejoice also in your Maker. Rejoice in the one that created you, that gave you health and strength and the ability to be a person and to operate. Rejoice in the Lord, both young men and maidens. Turn now to Hebrews chapter 11. This came out in the adult Sunday school class. I don't think it came out in the youth class. Keith referred to this when he answered one of the questions, and I told him, don't take away from my sermon. But Hebrews chapter 11, this is a story. We could go back to Exodus and read the whole story, but that would take a good portion of our time. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 26, is just in a nutshell a man's life. Let me just start with verse 20. Yeah, start with verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, seeing him as seeing him who is invisible. And youth is a time to choose sides. It's another time that youth is for. It's a time to choose sides. Who is on the Lord's side? And this is the man Moses. And we could go back and read his story. But as a young man, Pharaoh sought to kill him because he thought the Israelites were reproducing too fast, becoming too strong, and they were going to take over Egypt. And so he went and tried to kill all the babies, throw them into the river and kill them. And his parents decided to try and save him. And in that process, we know the story. She made a little basket, put it down by the river, and Pharaoh's daughter found him there and took him in as her own child. And he had the prime opportunity to raise. He never had a want in his life. He didn't know what that was like. Everything he wanted, being the son of, all the food he wanted, all the activities he wanted, all the learning he wanted, he had it. He was raised under Pharaoh. And he probably could have become Pharaoh himself, or at least someone high in the kingdom. I don't know if the Pharaoh had a child or not, but if there was no other male children, he would have had an opportunity. And Moses, as he became older, as he became a youth, he had a choice to make. and he saw the Israelites being oppressed. And he knew he was one of them. And he had to choose, am I going to enjoy all these pleasures that Egypt has to offer me, or am I going to choose to be part of God's people? And God was calling him, and God calls each one of us. During these years, during these young years, it's the time to make the choice whether we want to serve God or not. And that's a time that youth is for. You can wait, but if you wait, you end up sowing to the flesh and reaping to the flesh. You have a lot more pain in your life if you don't choose to serve God. Turn over to James chapter 4, right in the next book. James chapter 4 in verses 4 through 8. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I think he's calling them adulterers and adulteresses here because they had become Christians, they had known God, but then they were falling back into sin. And he says that's no different than if you're in a marital relationship and you go outside of that. You are bringing pain to God in this relationship. He says when you're a friend to the world, when you do the things that the world wants you to do, then you are bringing pain to God. You are no different than an adulterer. He says, if you're the friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. And youth is a time to decide whether I'm going to be a friend of God or whether I'm going to be a friend of the world. And with time, and that's one of the things that age can give you that nothing else can give you, you can see what happens to people who choose to be a friend to the world. It doesn't satisfy. Promises are broken. It doesn't yield what we think it will. And we wonder, why is there so many people who are committing suicide today? Why is there so many people? You hear it all the time. People jumping off bridges, people taking their own life. Why do people do that? Because people set a high standard for themselves when they're young and what they want out of life and what life should give them, what they should be able to expect. They're choosing to be a friend of the world, and the world lets them down, doesn't give them what they thought they should get. And in the end, they see it as the only way out. The answer is to choose to be on the Lord's side. Because if we don't get what life we think life should give us, we know that there's a reason. And God knows what the reason is. And God is preparing a place in heaven where we can be with Him. Youth is a time to purify character. The third point that I have. Youth is a time to purify character. Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. I think there's a reason he says young man, because he realizes that it was in his youth, and this is from David, it was in his youth, as he made those choices when he was out there with the sheep. He decided to praise God when he was called to there's a number of times in his youth where he had the opportunity to choose right or wrong. He was ridiculed by his brothers, but he decided to follow through what he thought was a call from God to go kill Goliath. Youth is a time to purify our character. And he says, how do you do that? He says, you do that by taking heed according to the word. By reading the word and by, like we were talking about, Levitico, set our affections on God. That's how we purify our character. And we do it in our youth because it follows us through life. A lot of those habits that people take on as their youth, you can break them when you're young. It's a lot easier to break them when you're young. But if you let them follow you through life, it becomes harder and harder and harder. 1 John chapter 2. If you're still back in the New Testament. 1 John 2. Here's some more verses to young people. Verse 13, 14, and 15. Well, maybe I'll read to verse 17. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He says here, he's writing unto the young men, because he says, I know you're strong. I know you're faithful. And so I'm writing unto you. He's writing unto young men that he knew had passed the test. How do you grow in character? How do you become stronger in character? Steve talked about it this morning in his devotions. How do you learn to have patience? You learn it through hardship. You don't learn to have patience if everybody's always doing what you want. You don't learn patience that way. You learn patience when you have expectations and people don't meet them. And you have to wait. And you want something to change and it won't change. That's how you grow in character. I'm offering hardship to you youth this morning. You want to take it? You want hardship? No, we shrink back from that. We don't want that. But there's a blessing in hardship. It makes us stronger. We didn't want those babies to end up in the hospital for a couple weeks. But it's through that that God draws people to himself. That's how you grow in character. It's also what brings people to the end of themselves the other way. When people can't accept it and won't accept what God brings into their life, it wears them out. Choose to work on your character instead of pining for the things you don't have. That's what happens when we wish that things were different, wish that we could have our own way, one way or another, then we forget that something's happening in our heart the whole while. And we need to choose to grow in our experience. Otherwise, we'll build character that we don't want to build. Youth is also an opportunity to work. Work while you still have the stamina to work. Work builds healthy habits. Another thing that happens is lazy people often make lazy Christians. That's why you need to learn to work. Lamentations 3, verse 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Another verse that's just about like that is in Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good when burdens are put upon us and we have expectations put upon us. And that's one of the struggles of youth, is those are the times we want to be a child. We don't want those responsibilities. But when the privileges come, then we want the privileges, because that's what the adults have. And it makes a struggle in our life. But a young person needs to be willing to do the work, and to do the work without complaining, because that's what makes us grow. That's what helps us to build healthy character and healthy habits. Jesus taught that to his disciples many times along the way. But there was a time specifically when the disciples were arguing about who's going to be the greatest. There was a contention among themselves. Who's going to be great? And Jesus said, if you want to be great, then you go work. It's basically what he said. He said, you go be a servant. You be the one that goes around and does things for everybody else and doesn't get noticed for it. He says, that's how you become great. And so I'm not offering you young people a lot of nice things this morning. I offered you hardship a little bit ago so you can grow in your character. And I'm offering you work if you want to grow in your Christian life. If you want to be important someday, then you have to be willing to work now. Don't wait for something big. Look for the little opportunities today. When you have a family of your own, you're limited on your opportunities. Well, you have a specific set of opportunities. When you are bogged down with the responsibilities of financial obligations, it's harder to, it can be harder to reach out and serve. You can't just break free and go. So if there's an opportunity to help somebody, do it. It's more important to help somebody than to earn money. It's great to earn money and to save, but it's more important to be a blessing in somebody else's life than to earn money. That's one of the reasons why I hesitate to encourage young sisters to get a job. If they have nothing else to do, that's fine. But it takes them away from so many opportunities to serve. Oh, I have to go to work today. Here's my work schedule. A lot of times when we serve, it's spontaneous. I know here, not too long ago, my wife had a birthday. Someone called and said, "Can I bring you supper? Did you make supper yet?" And that's a real blessing. It's an opportunity to serve, to encourage somebody. It's much, much more important than making money. But youth is a time when it is time to work and to save and to not just spend the money that you make on yourself, to give and to have things that I want right now but be willing to deny myself of it, put it in the bank, and save it for a time when it can be used on something that's more necessary. Youth is also an opportunity of influence. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's an opportunity to influence. Now, you thought you weren't very important, but youth are very important. First Timothy 4 and verse 12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And I know he was talking to Timothy, a young man with responsibility, may have been older than myself. But what the verse is teaching here is very true. Just because you're a young person doesn't mean you can't do something for God. And youth is an opportunity. Well, let me just say it like this. When the world sees older people that are denying themselves of the flesh and are choosing to do what's right, it's in a lot of ways not a surprise to them. Because they say, that person's thought about it, that person's made choices, and he wants to be there, he can do that, but what can the youth do that? And the youth have an opportunity that when they choose to do what's right, it's a real witness to the world, because young people of the world today don't exercise restraint. You do whatever you want. Youth is looked at as a time when you throw off restraint and you enjoy whatever life has to offer you. You just do it. If it feels good, you do it. And young people that do what's right, it's a real inspiration to the world, because youth just aren't that way. But they can be that way. They can make that choice. What are some of the temptations of youth? I'd like to look at a few temptations of youth before we close here. When Job, I looked in the book of Job, when his three friends came to him and were trying to figure out what Job had done wrong, they seemed to think that there were some sins in his youth that weren't taken care of, and God was finally judging him for that. Job said, "For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth." And one of his friends said to him, "His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie him down in the dust." And why did they say that? Is that true? Are there sins of your youth that'll follow you the rest of your life? Yes, it is that way. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." And so we draw a lesson from the natural world. Whatever seed you put in the ground, that's what grows, right? You throw out some wheat, you get some wheat. Put some corn in the ground or some beans or whatever you want to plant. You plant some flowers, that's what grows. You have an expectation. But if you sow weeds, you're going to reap weeds. And he prayed about that this morning in the prayer, that God would help us pull up those weeds that grow. Let's make sure we're not sowing weeds, because what you sow through life, you will reap in life. What you sow in life, you will also reap in eternity if we aren't washed under the blood. First Timothy 2. You're probably still in 1 Timothy. Verse 19. 1 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy, sorry, there's no verse 19 in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 and verse 22. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth him them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Jump over to verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. He specifically says, flee youthful lusts and choose to follow the things that God wants you to follow. And he says, do it with them that call on the Lord. He's encouraging you here to be a part of the church, be a part of the body, be a part of those who want to do what's right. What are some of the things that affect youth? The first one I have here is peer pressure. Peer pressure is something that's really strong when you're young. And there's people that face it all through life. But it's easier as you get older to throw some of those things aside and say, you know what, they really feel this way, and they really act this way, and they're putting a lot of pressure on me to be this way, but I can see it's really not that important. I don't really care, and not do it. But it's hard for youth to do that. Even as parents try to explain it to them, it's hard for youth to do that. Galatians chapter 1. It seemed like Paul here maybe faced some of the same things. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He's saying here, I had to make a decision. And this is in his adult life, but it's true in youth as well. Am I persuading men or am I persuading God? Who am I trying to be like? Who am I trying to please? Am I pleasing men or am I pleasing God? And so peer pressure becomes especially strong as a youth. And youth have to learn to not allow that to control them. When the rest of them do wrong, I'm going to choose to do right. If I stand out, it's okay, because I'm trying to please God. I'm not trying to please them. Another thing that is especially strong in youth is pleasure-seeking, revelry, moral looseness. I'll just put it all in one. Talked about a little bit ago, when I talked about youth being able to be an influence. But youth is a time when we haven't felt a lot of pain. We haven't felt a lot of the pain, the guilt that goes along with doing wrong. And so we want to do it. It's also a time when it's really easy to drift. We haven't learned hard work so much. And it's easy to drift along instead of making decisions. And we think maybe it won't really matter. Maybe I can get away with it. Maybe it won't apply to me. Titus 2:6, like young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing themselves a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Young men like to build muscles, right? You like to flex your muscles, you like to see who's strongest. We like to wrestle a lot when I was young. We like to arm wrestle. But there's one thing that we need to learn, and that is that moral strength is mightier than physical strength. Being able to choose to do what's right is a much stronger, is showing your strength much more than your physical strength. Verse 8 in that same passage says this, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And that's another temptation of youth, and that is unwholesome speech, or having wholesome speech. It seems like as you get older, well, when you're young, your parents try to protect you from that, and rightly so. It's a good thing. And I haven't figured out why young man that works for me, when he's around his daughter, he doesn't say those words. Yet when she's not around, he says them. And yet he knows when she gets a little older, it won't matter anymore. What does it matter when you're little if it doesn't matter when you're big? It does matter. That's the truth. And when you're young, your parents protect you from it. And as you get a little older, you hear these things you weren't used to hearing before. And it can be hard to know how to deal with them. And it can be easy to use words that you shouldn't use. And so that's a special temptation. And as you get older, you can learn just to let those things roll off you and you don't think about it so much when people say it. But use sound speech. Make it a habit. And it's a good habit to have. And it will serve you well in life. Another special temptation of youth is rebellion. It's rebellion. It's so easy to be rebellious when you're young. I really want to do this. I should be allowed this privilege. Or I think I know a better way to do this. Why do we have to do it your way, Dad? We should do it my way. Have you ever tried it this way? And there's many, many examples I could give of that. We could go into the Word and look at a lot of examples of young men that didn't want to follow where they were told to do. And the pain that it brought them. In the Old Testament, there's a verse that's as strong as saying that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, how could you equate rebellion with something as strongly as witchcraft? I mean, witchcraft, that's devil worship. Is rebellion devil worship? Well, rebellion is just as sinful as witchcraft because rebellion cuts us off from God. Same thing that witchcraft does. And so it's serious. And it starts in little ways where we think it's innocent. We think we're right. We think our parents should know better. And we choose to be rebellious, and it leads to greater and greater things. And that's how people end up in jail for the rest of their life because they weren't willing to give in. And the last thing that I have, special temptation of youth, is the love of things. It's the love of dress and the love of things. And that follows us through life pretty much. But I want you to think about it a little bit because at the end of time, all those things stay here. All those things stay here. It's just a bigger pile of ashes, as one person put it. The more you accumulate, just a bigger pile of ashes. And these things don't help us in the judgment if we set our affections on them. If anything, they hinder us. The more things that we have hinders us in the judgment. It's okay to be clean and neat. It's a virtue. It's a good thing. It's the right thing to be. It's good for youth to exercise that. But the problem is getting caught up with what's on the outside and forgetting to grow on the inside. That can be easy for us youth to do is focus on wearing the right thing and looking right, and yet on the inside, not bother cleaning that up. Let's just go back to our theme verse before we close here. And I like to read the last phrase of verse Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." And I just want to remind you that you can live how you want. Go ahead and live how you want. Just remember, you're going to be brought into judgment for it. And judgment goes both ways. Judgment, evil is rewarded. And that's often what we think about. And evil will be rewarded, but the good things that you sow in your youth will be rewarded as you grow older. And like I said at the beginning, it wasn't that long ago I was 17. I remember that very clearly. The things we did when we were 17. But I'm already at the place where a lot of my friends, when I was 17, I've seen where they've gone already. And there's a lot of them that choosing to do what's right. And that's a good thing. And just let them into... We're so scattered, I don't hardly see them anymore. Most of them I hardly see. But there's ones that have chosen to do what's wrong. Those ones I don't see at all. Probably the ones I don't see at all. And in a few years, the choices that you make today will make a difference. That's why I wanted to bring this message to the youth this morning. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the mercy that you've given us today, that you've given us a brand new day, another breath of life. I pray today, Lord, that you would help us to make this a profitable day in the existence of time, that when we're in eternity and we look back to what was today, that we can be thankful that we chose to do what was right, and that we shun the wrong, did not indulge yourselves in it. And Father, you know how this comes so close home every day. It's one thing to be in church on a Sunday morning, the purpose in our hearts to do what's right. It's another thing in the middle of the week when the pressure's on to please the flesh and just do what the easiest thing is to do. And I pray today, Lord, that the purpose in our heart that we've done this morning will help us this week when we are faced with decisions to make, and that we will choose to be on your side, to be with the Almighty One, rather than to be with the one who is destroying himself every day. And I pray today, Lord, that we could sow seeds that we would be thankful for the reward in the future. Bless each one that is here. Bless them with good health. Bless them with spiritual health. We pray that you bless those that are not here. We pray that they could not be here because they were sick, that you would heal them. They could not be here because they did not want to be here. We pray, Lord, that you would change their hearts and make them to desire life and truth. Bless the remainder of the service this afternoon, the service at the Winds. We pray that you would help us to be an inspiration to the folks there. So we pray in Jesus' name.